Now, as we see how the Lord Jesus Christ ministered to the people, he also, of course, obviously needed to do a number of other things. One, he had to be very sure that his disciples are learning the right lessons. So if there is a faith that is faltering, that is not weak, that's not strong, sorry, then he obviously has to address that. He wants to help them to develop a very strong and dynamic faith. But on the other hand, when we take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ ministering, you will find that from time to time, he will do things that seems to be a little bit strange. Strange if you don't understand him. Strange if you don't know where he's coming from. But absolutely wonderful if you understand where, what he's doing and why he did what he did. Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8 of our study today. And we read in 9:1, it says that he, as the Lord Jesus crossed over, he came to his own city. Now, the word own city needs to be understood. First, it is not a reference to Bethlehem. This is where he was born. This was the place where he was born in fulfillment of Micah 5:2. This is not his own city. Neither was it a reference to Nazareth. Nazareth was where he grew up. So how long did he spend in Bethlehem? Not long, because he had to flee to Egypt and then came back. And as he came back, the family decided that they would just simply go to Nazareth. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ was always described as Jesus of Nazareth. Right? Now, there's also another reason why he was also called that he was a Nazarene. There are lots of reasons why he was there. But again here, in this particular context, this is not a reference to Nazareth at all. Well, the reason is very obvious because in Mark chapter 6, as the Lord Jesus went to his own people to minister to them in Nazareth, they were so upset with him because he spoke about being a prophet, not accepted in his own country. He talked about how the prophets in the past, they were more successful with the Gentiles than they were in Israel. And they were very angry. They understood the implications. And so they literally tried to kill the Lord Jesus by wanting to throw him down a cliff. And so Nazareth was therefore not his own city in that sense. But Capernaum became what we call his adopted city, right? This is where the disciples were found mostly. This is where he called them, or near to this area. And this is where he would go to again and again. And so it was dubbed his own city, right? So we are looking at three choices: Bethlehem, Nazareth, Capernaum. In this case here, when we talk about his own city, it's usually a reference to Capernaum. This was the city that he spent a lot of time in. Well, we have the story of the paralytic. I think that is important. You know, as we take a look at this whole idea of it all, of course, you can talk about how the friends, you know, took off the roof and laid him down and so. Now, all of these things are true. But Matthew has a very, very special intended lesson for us to understand. What was that intended lesson? And this is important. Well, let's take a look at some of them. First, one of the intended lessons was to portray friendship that is true among friends. Sometimes friends are just people we hang out with, maybe they're schoolmates, or maybe they are colleagues, and that's about it. But when you want to understand what truly good friends are like, well, you would have an example right here. So let's take a look at what it means. First, they were people who went to a lot of trouble to bring their sick, paralyzed friend to the Lord Jesus. Nothing stopped them. Even when they cannot get in, they didn't just say, well, we tried our best, didn't work, let's go home. They actually went to take down a part of the roof of the house and then to lower their friend down. So it's not a small little hole. It has to be big enough for the four of them to lower their friends down to the Lord Jesus and to be healed by him. So which means to say that after that is done, these four friends will have to make good the damage that is done. They will have to repair the roof for them. They have to do it to the satisfaction of the owner and everything else. And that's going to be quite a bit of expense on their part. But this is what true friendship is all about. And that tells us the lesson that we ought to be challenged to consider. We all make up friends. We have friends in school. We have friends in a neighborhood. We have friends in church. The question is, what kind of friends? And this is a good idea of a kind of friendship that they enjoyed. Now, in Matthew 9, verse 2, we have a very simple but important statement. The Lord Jesus saw their faith. Now, you can imagine why this is stated. It is this faith that they had in the Lord, in the help that they would receive from the Lord Jesus. This was the faith that they had. And this is important. So when the Lord Jesus saw the friendship, it wasn't a commendation of the friendship that came out. It was a commendation of their faith. Now, this is also good for the disciples to learn. This is what it means to have faith. It is strong, it is practical, it is solid, it is concrete. He responded to their faith, right? Now, this is absolutely important for us to understand and appreciate. Okay, now, this is important for us too. A third lesson was an intended lesson, but this is absolutely vital. Okay, so the Lord Jesus wants the people to see him more than just a teacher, more than just a miracle worker. Right now, he introduced something very, very special over here. And he says that you may know that the Son of Man. Now, that is a very important statement here, right? The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Now, that is a vital statement. So when the Lord Jesus speaks of himself as a Son of Man, two aspects must be considered. Psalm 8, verse 4, it is just simply a term to describe himself humbly. In other words, he's a mere mortal. But then in Daniel 7, in verse 13, this term, Son of Man, was actually a title, a lofty title to describe the Messiah. This is how the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to tell the people about himself, but humbly so. He tells the people humbly, he is not just a miracle worker. He is not just a teacher, right? But he is none other than the Son of Man, the Messiah, according to Daniel 7 and verse 13. This was a tremendous introduction as to who he really, really was. Now, of course, that will draw a lot of anger from the enemies. How can the Lord Jesus speak of himself as one who is able to forgive sins? To them, there's only one person who can forgive sins, and that is God. So when the Lord Jesus Christ said that he has the power to forgive sins, now that was making a tremendous statement, right? Now, this is something that is important. Of course, the people disputed, so the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, which is easier, to say, take up your bed and walk? Is that easy? Of course it's not. It would take power and authority to bring that about. So when he talk about forgiveness of sins, it will also take the same amount of power and authority to actually forgive sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do both. So he says to the man, take up your bed and walk. And he says again, your sins are forgiven you. Both acts will require power and authority as only the Son of Man would be able to have. Now, the prophets in the Old Testament, well, they could perform miracles, some of them, right? They had authority and power from God to make predictions, to make prophecies, no question about that, right? But when we take a look at this whole idea of the Lord Jesus Christ imbued with tremendous power to heal and to forgive sins at one at the same time, that tells us a very, very important lesson here. The intended lesson is for them to understand, to know, not take for granted the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that Son of Man predicted, prophesied in Daniel 7, who has come to earth to Israel. I think that is important. Well, what was the reaction or response of the crowd? Well, we see this. When a multitude saw it, the man picked up his bed and he walked. And of course, you can see him smiling. You can imagine him smiling. His sins are forgiven. And, you know, this is very important. The Lord Jesus Christ was trying to help the man. Being forgiven of sins is even of greater significance than to be healed physically. And I'm sure the man understood the remark of the Lord Jesus. Now, the crowd's response was simply this. The multitude saw it, they marveled, they glorified God that he had given such power to men. Now, what does this mean when we read this idea to men? What Matthew was really trying to convey in this statement in Matthew 9:8 was that they actually didn't understand it, right? The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of himself as the Son of Man. The scribes and the Pharisees reacted. As far as they're concerned, this man blasphemes. Yes, you may call yourself Son of Man, as in Psalm 8, verse 4. In which case, you have no power, no authority to say your sins are forgiven. That's it. They limited the Lord Jesus Christ to being a mere mortal. So what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying about being the Son of Man, they would not accept that. The crowds, the multitudes, were trying to figure out the anger of the scribes, and then the simplicity of the statement of the Lord Jesus, your sins are forgiven, and they were caught in between two. If they were to come out in the open to stand in favor of the Lord Jesus, the scribes are going to go after them. But if they were to just take the side of the scribes, they also knew that that was not a correct perspective. They saw the miracle. One, it is truly something to marvel about. That's correct. Two, they must glorify God. Obviously, because they saw a miracle right in front of their eyes. But when we read this statement, who had given such power to men, the word men here is plural, meaning to say that, you know, they could not see the Lord Jesus as a distinctive person, as the Messiah, as the one who had the fullness of power and authority to forgive sins. In other words, they did not understand fully what the Lord Jesus said, what he meant, what he did. They only saw the miracle, marvel, glorify God, stop. That was all they could go. That was as far as they could go. That's as far as they could understand. They couldn't go further. Right? Now, this is something that we really want to be challenged to consider. Sometimes we look at the Lord Jesus, we think of his teachings. Some of the teachings are hard, some of the things are wonderful, some of the things are difficult to comprehend. We all know that. And then we stop as the Lord Jesus Christ, as a teacher, as a great teacher, or even as Savior. But we haven't really fully fathomed what the Lord really can do. Ponder this thought. What does it mean to have sins forgiven? We have committed many, many sins in our life. And sometimes we just simply ask the Lord to forgive us, and we assume that they are forgiven, and then we just don't think about it further. Actually, it takes authority and power to forgive. And so the scribes were, in a sense, partially right when they say, who can forgive sins? If anybody wants to talk about forgive sins, about forgiving sins, that person is a blasphemer. They could not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as that person who is able to forgive sins. But for us, we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, as the Lord. We must understand and appreciate who the Lord Jesus Christ is in a deeper way. My challenge for all of us as we go into 2023 is to learn how to marvel, to learn how to glorify God, and then move on further to understand and appreciate the Lord Jesus as he deserves to be understood and appreciated. That would be a great thing, a great way to go. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the challenge to understand your word a little bit better. Help us to grow in our knowledge and our understanding of the Lord Jesus. Help us to be able to appreciate him for the wonderful Lord, teacher, Savior, a forgiver of our sins and more. We pray that this year will see us grow in our faith, in our knowledge, and appreciation of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.